My name is Garland Robinson. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 we read, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Friend, here we read about a Christian. A Christian is a servant of the Lord, a child of God, one who has obeyed the gospel. We read in Acts 11:26 where the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That means they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Acts 26 and verse 28 and 29. We have no indication that Agrippa, though, ever obeyed the gospel. We are left simply with the thought that probably he did not and went on into eternity unprepared to meet God. Friend, I want you to know it is great to be a Christian. It is wonderful to be a child of God. Saints of every age declare it to be so. Friend, there are rewards for being a child of God. Isn't it the dream of so many people to have a phone call one day that reveals to them they have inherited or they have been awarded a grand prize of bunches and bunches of money? Perhaps a knock on the door telling them that they have received millions of dollars. Well, people look for reward. They look for happy, prosperous times. But friend, that is not going to bring happiness in this life, nor in the life to come. What will bring happiness, true happiness now and in the life to come, is being a child of God. There are rewards for the faithful both now and hereafter. We need to learn about these. We need to store them up in our heart. We need to meditate upon them. We need to use the precious promises of God as our strength and our shield every day of our lives. In Mark the 10th chapter, in verses 28 to 31, the Lord told about how that when we are a servant of the Lord, when we're faithful, then we can receive 100-fold now in this time and in the life to come, eternal life. In Luke 18 and verse 30, we will receive manifold more in this present time and likewise eternal life in the world to come. Oh, it's so depressing to see how people of this world are confused, they're bewildered. They need to know that man's greatest needs find their fulfillment in genuine Christian living. They're not going to find happiness in education. They're not going to find happiness in money or power or prestige or honor that this world offers, but the great Christian life, even though it will be filled with persecution, there is a great reward that will be received. The Hebrew writer spells it out in chapter 2 and verse 3 of Hebrews when he speaks of so great salvation. Oh, what a tragedy it will be when they forfeit, they lose, they neglect, oh, so great a salvation. Friend, it is great. Salvation is great. It's great in the price that was paid for it. It's great in the Savior that died to purchase it. It's great in the way of life that it teaches. Thousands are living as though there is no hope. And to them, in their present condition, not being a Christian or being an unfaithful Christian, living for themselves, then I have to tell them, I have to agree with them, there is no hope. But friend, there is more to life. There's got to be something more than getting up early in the morning, working hard all day, going to bed at night, getting up the next morning just to do it all over again. You know, I hear so much about people living just for the weekend. It just makes me sick. All they can talk about is happy hour and Friday and the weekend and living for themselves, full of their greed, full of their own selfish wants. But friend, there's got to be more than that. It's depressing to hear people talk about the bad weather. Oh, if it's going to rain, oh, they're down in the dumps. Friend, a Christian doesn't take that kind of attitude. We're happy to be alive. We're happy to live in this world. We're happy to be servants of God. Happy to bring glory to His high and holy name. Happy that we're able to teach others to be likewise, to do the same thing. The world doesn't fall apart because it rains or because it's cloudy. The world's not coming to an end simply because we may not feel good someday. Friend, there's more to life than all of that. Christ teaches there is a better life. One wherein we can be happy. One where we can enjoy life instead of seeing it as drudgery. Well, I'll tell you up front, the Christian life is not the easiest life to live. If it were, then everybody would be living it, wouldn't they? The easiest life is the way of the world. The easiest life is the way of the devil. Why is it that rivers are so crooked? It's because they choose the course of least resistance. They just go with the flow. Well, that's the easiest way. But I will tell you that the Christian life, though may not be the easiest way, it's the way that's most rewarding. It's the way where there is happiness, there is peace within. You know, it's going to take a little effort on your part, on my part, but oh, what joys we can receive as a result of simply being a faithful child of God. You know, in order for us to see that the Christian life truly is better, we've got to first understand what a Christian is. He's not just someone that's been baptized, even though baptism is essential. It is absolutely essential that one repent of their sins and be baptized. Those very people that stood around and cried for Jesus to be crucified and put to death, they were present on the day of Pentecost. Being convicted of their sins, they cried out and said, "Sirs, what shall we do?" They weren't told to accept Jesus Christ into their heart to be their personal Savior. That's never been told anyone in all the New Testament. And those who tell people that today do so of their own will. They can't point to a scripture that mentions it. Even the concept or even the thought of it is not found in the Bible. What were those on the day of Pentecost told? They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Romans 6 verse 3 says that baptism puts one into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21 says baptism doth also now save us. But friend, just being baptized is not all there is. It's only the beginning of a life lived for our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian living is more than simply going to church. All so-called churchgoers are not genuine Christians. Now, God adds one to the church when they obey the gospel, but that doesn't guarantee their faithfulness. They have to live according to what the Bible teaches. A lot of people may have their names on a church roll, but they're not dedicated to the cause of Christ. The church has been hurt a lot of times because of the ungodly lives of those who claim to be their members. Did you ever stop to think what you're doing to others when you don't live the kind of life you should? You never know who is watching. You never know the influence that you have upon other people. But the point is to live a faithful life. And if you live a faithful Christian life, regardless of the circumstances around you, but you do so because you've been called out of the world and to live a new life in the Lord, that is the kind of life that is rewarding. Who is it then that's a Christian? It's one who's obeyed the gospel. It's one in whom the Lord Jesus Christ lives. It's one who can say with Paul, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It is as if there were both a cross and a throne in every person's heart. In your own heart, when Christ is on the cross, then yourself is on the throne. But when you put yourself on the cross, then Christ is on the throne. Don't be as the individual is just enough Christianity in their life to make themselves miserable because they're a hypocrite. They live a life of pretense. Don't be like the individual is trying to hang on to the world with one hand and the church with the other, because that will not work. You can't be faithful to the Lord. You can't go to heaven like that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The word mammon means wealth or riches. You can't serve God and wealth, can't serve God and riches. You can't live in both worlds as though you're going to have the best of both. It won't work that way. You've got to give up the world in order to be a faithful child of God. Oh, but how wonderful, how beautiful. What rewards there are in being a faithful Christian. There are rewards for the faithful because those who have been genuine disciples through the ages have declared it to be so. You know, we judge the value of a product by listening to those who've used it. And somebody that says, "Well, I tried that and I don't like it, it don't do this, don't do that," then we're not as apt to try it ourselves, are we? But when we hear someone commend it and say, "Oh, I've used that, it is wonderful, it does great." Well, the Christian life is like that. When people see our life and we claim to be a Christian and our life is full of misery, our life is one that is not an example, we're always down, we're always complaining, well, why would they find any need at all to be a Christian? But when they see us upbeat, when they see us energetic, when they see us on top of the world, our attitude is great, that serves as a great influence for the cause of Christ. Friend, there are rewards for the faithful, and the Bible tells us that is so. The only way you can enjoy those rewards is by becoming a Christian. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess faith in Jesus, then you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Romans 6:4 says, "Raised up to walk a newness of life." If you'll live a faithful life in the Lord, you will be rewarded both now and hereafter as well. My name is Garland Robinson. Appreciate you joining us today and hope that you'll join us again next time.